This is going to be free flowing, so thank you, but there'll
be lots
of.
What year was it? 2000? No, it was 1998.
It says 2000 in mine, but 2000.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was my other book that was in 1998. Okay, it was 2000.
Chronologically speaking, should I go next and then you?
Yeah, it works.
All right, cool. The stuff that I thought I would bounce off of y'all were the, I had a long sell for my book. The very first conference that I came to here, which was, Christian and I are still debating this, it was either 98 or 99. It was 99, wasn't it, Christian?
No.
Ah.
But I saw you here in 1999, so
okay.
I can tell you, I've got the records right here.
Excellent. Well, anyway, it was either 98 or 99. And what I thought was, wow, this is great work, and there's absolutely a harvestable interdisciplinary anthology, and my background is in history, and so I was very much, and I had also done my undergraduate work in the Northeast and then my graduate work in England, and so I had sort of a cross-cultural perspective on what had happened with interdisciplinary studies and what had happened with American studies. And so I sort of saw this book immediately as being, wow, this is the very first example of something that could be, that could avoid so much of the sort of methodological wars and theoretical difficulties that we had all seen with those earlier movements in the academy. Because here is something that is fundamentally grounded in a single subject. Not only that, but here is something that has got such a multifaceted nature to it that I imagined every single one of these disciplines and every single paper that I heard, almost without exception at that first conference, taught me in no uncertain terms that, wow, what's really cool about this is that nobody is straying from their discipline's most conservative and traditional methodologies in making their exegeses. Hallelujah. This is what had always been missing from American studies and interdisciplinary studies. So here's, my fundamental conception was it's not just a cool book for deadheads and dead scholars. It's fundamentally a very cool book for the academy and for my field, history. Or that was my field at the time. So I'm all, full of just fire and brimstone. This is going to work. Dragooned lots of very, very generous contributors into contributing and trusting me. And lo and behold, I started getting shot down in flames like you wouldn't believe. Not a single solitary university press was interested. And I must have said, well, I started pitching it in 2000. And didn't sell it until I started pitching it in 2000 and didn't sell it until 2006. What was most interesting about the rejections is that every single one of them hid behind the canard that Rebecca cited, which was, oh, edited anthologies just don't sell anymore. And I said, yeah, but if you read the proposal, the problem with the edited anthologies is that they have no focus and nobody can write an introduction that does a good job of weaving it all together. Did you read the proposal? They, of course, love it when you come back to them with things like that. And yes, I was considerably more graceful and diplomatic. But still, it was like, honestly, I felt like it was back to a throwback to my days in writing fiction where you send them the first and the third chapter, and you're absolutely convinced that they never read the first and the third chapter. They didn't bother to read the proposal. They read, like, the first two lines and said, okay, game over, that's it. Then there's the second aspect, which is, of course, the fact that it's a book about the Grateful Dead. And there was the stigma that immediately attaches to that. And some of the rejections made specific mention of that, which was, dude, who are you kidding? So, again, and it's worth pointing out that even today, we still don't have a university press that's backed a Grateful Dead publication. Every single person on this panel, although we can easily make the case that that commercial presses like Open Court, like Macfarlane, have got, and mine, Cambridge Scholars Press in England, are definitely pseudo-academic presses. They're academic presses in the sense that that's the entirety of their market, pretty much. At the same time, they're not university presses, and there's very much a difference between getting published by, there's an imprimatur that attaches to having that marvelous university press, slug attached to the name.
May I interject something?
Sure.
I mean, I have been offered, for my monograph, I've been offered contracts by lots of university presses. The book I won't sign the contract for. And the reason, I think the reason for this is that we don't have monographs.
That, I'm so glad you were making that. Yes, absolutely. Because, all right, so that was my first major point was, boy, this is a tough sell for those two reasons. Second point, though, is that I do think, and that's actually a foretaste of the third point, which we'll all cycle back around to, which is I do think that in the future what is now most needed is a lot more monographic work before we, you know, the all graceful, in a certain sense, all three of our, all four of our works represent an attempt at that interdisciplinarity. But now it's sort of time, now that we've cast the broad net, it is time to step back and say there's a lot more monographic work that needs to be done. So yeah, that's a foretaste and a forecast of where that's headed.
What's a monograph again?
A book that's, you know, one person or you know, that's authored by the same people all together, not separate chapters by different people.
It's a book.
Yeah, a book.
On the limited
one person, one subject.
Right, right. And it's worth pointing out, I mean,
coherent.
In many ways, you know, you could say there's a spectrum here because in many ways, you know, Scott's and my book tend to cast a fairly wide net in terms of weaving together a lot of different things. You could say that Steve's is probably the most narrowly academically focused in the sense that they're all largely operating in the philosophical aegis, largely. Rebecca's is
social science.
Pretty much all, yeah, all social science. Mine's definitely the smorgasbord, but then again, that was my deliberate aim. I wanted it to be, you know, to demonstrate, yo, you can actually, here is something that actually can include something. The farthest stretch, I think, for most people is Barry Barnes' wonderful essay, which is high-level business theory, and lo and behold, it actually also has got a great deal to say about the Grateful Dead phenomenon. That's the biggest stretch, I think, for most readers. But I do think that in the future, that's kind of, okay, been there, done that. Now what we need to do is actually have a lot more serious, focused, monographic work. And I would say that, and this is the point that I'll end with before I turn it over to Steve, which is the biggest absence in all of this is the lack of good historiography. I would point out that I don't believe that that is a function of it being dead studies in any way, shape, or form. Anyone who's familiar with the historiography on the 1960s knows that it is the most contentious, problematic, and in many ways difficult of anything that's unfolding now in modern history. It's also, I think, not surprising since the legacy and politics of that era are still being fought.
Suffered.
Yeah, are still being fought out on the national stage even as we speak. So to some extent, it's absolutely understandable. But and I guess the last point to be made there would be when I switched my dissertation topic in graduate school from a nice, safe, conservative topic in 19th century Southern history to this, and I told my advisor with great enthusiasm, just look at the kind of footnotes that I can get by saying, here's a poster from the Trips Festival. You wouldn't believe the kind of great footnotes that you can get from that. And I'm dead serious. You really can. And I did. And his response was, good God. Any reasonable, rational historian would take a look at what you consider to be evidentiary standards and run screaming in the opposite direction. To which my response was, yeah, but it's so much fun. Anyway.